Got just over a minute here until the closing bell. We got full coverage for you. Megan Horniman of Verdant Capital Advisors, Director of Portfolio Strategy, and Stephanie Roth, J.P. Morgan Private Bank Senior Markets Economist, here to break down the action that we are seeing. But let's take a look at where things stand, because the final couple of hours, certainly a different picture than what we were looking at earlier today. The Dow adding to gains in the final hour, now up just over 100 points. S&P up nearly a half of a percent, as well as the NASDAQ. We got the reports out of D.C. about some progress on the debt ceiling, and that, of course, fueled the turnaround. In terms of the leadership that we are seeing within the Dow, the outperformers, Microsoft, that stock up just over 1.5%, Procter & Gamble, Salesforce, Coca-Cola, and Visa among the leaders there. In terms of this sector action, it's a bit of a mixed picture, and that has been the case for most of the day. You can see it on your screen there. Utilities leading the way, followed by consumer staples, real estate, and technology. In terms of the laggards, healthcare, materials, and energy.
All right. But you can do that gavel anytime you want, my friend. It's 4 o'clock. There we go. We've got it close to the trading session. Let's see where we are going to settle at this point. The Dow up again. It was only within the last 2 hours that we turned things around, because the day started off with a big sell-off in tech stocks that were pulling down the other indices. But the Dow is going to go up and settle about 103 points. S&P 500 is going to end the day up about 18 points. NASDAQ will be up about 68 points. Sean was talking about sector action. One thing to keep in mind, energy sector was down about 1% today, and that's before, as Jared was telling us about 10 minutes ago, before they priced in the potential to release petroleum from the nation's reserves. Let's discuss what all of this means and how we go forward with our guests. And let's bring in, I'm going to start with you, Megan, if I could, please, because the supply chain disruptions are certainly front and center. Everyone keeps talking about them. But as investors, are we perhaps overdoing it, our concern about the supply chain disruption?
No, I think that the supply chain disruptions continue to worsen, and we've seen that with some of the statistics coming out of the Port of California. I think we just have to accept the fact that this is going to remain with us for some time, and probably into 2022, and that'll probably also leave inflation a bit elevated as well. On one positive note, as you mentioned, with the oil situation, we have this energy supply crunch going around globally. And there's a couple of positive things that came out today. You mentioned that the strategic reserve that may come here in the U.S., but then also there's been news that Russia may also help out Europe with the natural gas crunch as well.
Stephanie, what do you think? Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think a key thing to think about is the concerns around stagflation. And that's something that we very much aren't worried about. That's been the narrative over the past month or so with the market correcting about 4%. But you're not really seeing it in the data. On balance, the data have been very strong when you're looking at a real spending versus the growth in prices. The only area you're seeing some evidence of demand destruction is in the auto sector. But otherwise, it's really just driven by incredibly strong demand. So that shouldn't be worrying when you're thinking about the economic picture. It's driven purely because demand has been very robust and the consumers are healthy. So we're not concerned on that front. We think the shortages should eventually fade. On the back of that, we are interested in technology in particular, just because they're less vulnerable to price pressures.
We were talking about technology, and we keep going back and forth, especially as yields go up and we see sell-off in tech stocks, Stephanie. But when we talk about cyclicals, especially as we're going into the holiday shopping season, is there any guidance you could give investors about what to expect? We're going to get the earnings reports, but it's really about shopping and Thanksgiving and Christmas as we go forward, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And we might see demand pulled forward into October and November, just because there's been reports about concerns that there won't be goods left on the shelf. So it might see some interesting nuances on that front. On balance, consumers will spend somewhere, whether they can't buy the exact shoes that they want. What we've seen throughout the course of this year is that demand has been really quite robust, and we think the holiday shopping season should be very solid, even if certain companies can't produce. So it's going to be about the companies that have the inventory and have the pricing power, and those are the ones that should do fairly well this holiday season.
Megan, how are you looking at the consumer? Because some of the data that we've gotten out recently has been rather conflicting. We've seen a pullback here in consumer spending most recently. Is that something that the market is worried about at all?
I think part of the reason why the consumer is kind of correlated when you look at consumer confidence as well. There is a lot of unknown. First of all, there is a supply problem, so there's not supply out there to buy. There's also the unknown from the political standpoint, and then inflation. So that is concerning from the consumer front. Also, the fact that the labor market still hasn't fully recovered. So we still have a significant amount of people that need to get back to work. We have the job postings that are out there, but we have a significant amount of people that need to get back to work. I think you're going to start to see some of that happen in the fourth quarter of this year, though, because the extended unemployment benefits have rolled off. You're starting to see things like gasoline prices that are high. This is going to start to eat into savings. And then we've actually started to see credit card debt start to drip up here a little bit. So I think you'll start to see people get to back to work. And our view on the consumer over the next year still is that they should be pretty solid.
In fact, Megan, following up on a couple of things you just said, we got the ADP number today that was greater and private payrolls grew. We're going to get the big jobs number on Friday. And then we have consumer credit being released from the Federal Reserve that's going to It would almost seem as if those three things come in better than people are expecting, that it puts wind in the sails to go forward. Is there any one particular area you would have people look at if it does come in better than expected, those three data points?
Well, to get to the point about stagflation and also then just to look from the individual, the corporate level, the one thing we're going to be looking at is the wage numbers. So, you know, input costs, wage costs are the biggest costs for companies. So that could put some pressure on margins going over the next year. So we're going to be looking at that wage number. The expectation is that it's going to grow about 4.6% year over year. I think anything north of that will get people concerned about inflation. And then you may see the Fed come to the table definitely then in November if you get a hotter and hotter labor earnings number.
Stephanie, how are you looking at the labor market? Because when we take into account some of the some of the issues underneath the surface, of course, there's a labor shortages. There's also the fact that workers are quitting at among the highest rates that we have seen on record. How do you see that playing out over the next couple of months?
Yeah, I think it's been disappointing to some extent. We would have expected participation to have picked up faster. What we've seen is it's been a combination of unemployment benefits being generous, people being concerned about going back to school, concerns around Delta. All of those headwinds are fading at this point. So we would expect the participation to pick up and for payroll to be fairly solid this week. And that's really what the Fed cares about. They basically told us they're going to taper unless there's a horrible print that we get on Friday. And we're not necessarily expecting that.
Megan, let's get back to this thing with oil, because something that some analysts are talking about is the fact that fuel prices for airlines are creeping up, and we're not talking about it as a headline issue, but the holiday travel season is approaching. Does this have the ramifications to spread out and be a drag on more than just the airlines, Megan?
Well, I keep in mind that airlines hedge out those energy costs for a significant amount of time. So if there's higher airline costs because of what's happening just now recently, that's not necessarily the case. These are hedged out. I think that airline prices are higher because of the fact that there's more demand. And then you throw into the mix there, you do have some shortages from all areas of the economy that are also rippling into things like the travel sector. And you're coming into a big holiday shopping, or I mean, a big holiday season where there's a lot of travel. So I don't think that I would look at airline prices in the very near term as a concern. It's going forward, some of the other things that we'll look at. Will we see some moderation in other leisure and hospitality areas that have seen big increases as we've seen this pent-up demand? Those are some of the areas we'll take a look at.
And Stephanie, as we wrap things up, I guess, just what's your biggest concern heading into the final months of the year, just in terms of what could potentially slow the recovery?
I would say something that's maybe most concerning, at least from the market's perspective, more recently, is around energy costs. There's concerns now that energy costs are going to rise up to $100. Even if that happens, the impact on the U.S. economy should be fairly minor. Remember, energy is just about 3% of after-tax income, which is fairly minor when you're taking a broader perspective. Or when you look at the impact to GDP as a result of a $25 increase in oil, the impact is about 15 basis points. So certainly that might be a concern for the market, but for the broad-based economy, I'm not so worried.